Another cross-border clash and another defeat for Mexican football as Major League Soccer's best outlast their Liga MX counterparts. We got all the reaction from a news-filled night in Los Angeles. Greg Berhalter and Tata Martino have both released their rosters for the upcoming qualifiers. Who's in, who's out, and who is most likely to make a difference with a World Cup ticket on the line? On that front, no bigger news than Ricardo Pepi's decision to represent the United States and not Mexico. We'll break down how big a deal it is for the United States, how big a loss it is for Mexico, starting now.
This is Football Americas.
Let's go, man, let's go.
Let's do it.
Welcome to the show alongside Hercules Gomez. I'm Sebi Salazar. Look at you, man, looking fresh after what I know was it a hard day of work or like a hard day of fun at the All-Star game? Did you actually do any work while you were there with our producer, Beto?
I did a lot of work. We did a lot of work. Okay. Producer Beto and I were actually working all you people, the thousands and thousands of fans that kept yelling Football Americas Tuesday night at the Skills Challenge and Wednesday night at the All-Star game. Thank you. It was great meeting you guys,
Wow. Yes. Hey, we don't have time to waste today. Literally, this is the day that broke all the news in soccer. We got Champions League groups. We got everything to get to from U.S. men's national team roster drops. As we start this show, we're still waiting for the Mexican roster to drop. Who knows when it'll happen? We hope it'll happen within the hour that we are with you live here on Football Americas. And of course, all of that will end up on the podcast, which you can download in the ESPN FC, wherever you do get your podcast. But Herc, I feel compelled to start this show with what feels like kind of the cloud hanging over or the big elephant in the room when it comes to these CONCACAF World Cup qualifiers. That's the announcements this week from both the Premier League and Serie A that they're not going to release their players. And I don't know that La Liga is not too far behind in this, to so-called red list countries because of COVID. As you'll see, there's quite a few teams, quite a few countries in CONCACAF that are on these red lists when it comes to COVID-19, Herc. So if, you know, we'll talk about the impact on the U.S., the impact on Mexico specifically in just a minute. But if we look beyond the first round of matches and into the second round of matches, and if things don't change when it comes to COVID-19 in these countries and being on this red list, you're looking at a qualifying cycle without the biggest stars in the confederation. Can we really look at this as a fair and just way to do a World Cup qualifier if this is going to be the case without the best players?
No, it's a competitive advantage for those countries that aren't, well, harshly hard done by this rule or by what's going on right now. I mean, it's not a footballing or sporting law. Let's put that out there. Let's just make that clear. These are the governments. This is the UK. This is them saying these red lists, and I should say not just the UK, because Serie A has joined and so has La Liga there. But it's a health issue. But certain countries are favored in this health issue. It's so unfair when I think about it. Uruguay, for example, is on this list, right? 4 million is the population of Uruguay. Texas, California, Florida, higher COVID cases, less vaccination rates than Uruguay, yet the United States isn't on this list. It's a competitive advantage for some countries, and it's really unfair. A lot of these countries are going to be very hard done, if we're talking about soccer-wise, sporting-wise, when it comes to this.
Yeah, a lot of that comes down to the schedules, right? Like, who are you playing and where are you going? And you're going to see, as we break down this impact from both a U.S. and Mexico standpoint, it's going to affect Mexico quite a bit in these early stages, and it's not going to affect the U.S. Herc, for Mexico, when you look at just Premier League and Serie A, immediate, obvious names, Chucky Lozano, Raul Jimenez, those losses are not unprecedented. But they are huge for Mexico at the beginning of a qualifying cycle.
Absolutely. Of course they're huge. But how about Mexico's opponent, Jamaica? They've got a lot of players. The Premier League, the championship, they'll be very hard done. This is going to hurt everybody in CONCACAF in some shape or form. Ironically, it won't hurt the U.S. that much. But if you think about Mexico, Raul Jimenez just came back. He's just showing his fitness. You want him there. You want him available for a lot of reasons. A lot of reasons. Chucky Lozano is by far your most, I would say, productive player. Without saying he's the best player, because he's got a case of being the best player, but he's easily the most productive player you have. And now you may not have him. That's a big loss.
Yeah, you think about it from a Mexican perspective, it is a big loss. It's kind of what this team was, though, at the end of the Gold Cup, once Chucky goes down, that's who Mexico is. And if that's the case, sure, you can sprinkle in some Olympic guys. But you hope that's the solution, because the Mexico that we saw in the Gold Cup was not effective, Herc. It really wasn't effective in front of goal. They may advance and they may have beat some people. But when you got to the quality games, the finishing wasn't there. And that's what worries me, because it's a lot of the same opponents.
Yeah. And who's going to be the most criticized there? It's Rogelio Funes Mori.
And justifiably so.
But he will continue to be the most criticized there. Now you have Henry Martin, who hasn't exactly lit it up at the senior national team level. Alan Pulido, the same thing. I mean, both these players have less than a handful of goals since 2015, 2014. So it really makes you wonder who can step up. Will it be a JJ Macias? Will it be an Alexis Vega playing out of position? It really makes you wonder what Tata Martino will do, will do when he can't count on Raul Jimenez. We know that he's not been in form, or he's not been with the Mexican national team. Chucky Lozano, we know he's the most productive player they have. So where will he turn to?
Yeah, you look at Mexico's schedule, right? Jamaica, where we know will be in an empty Azteca, that, you know, reduced from a two-match ban to a one-match ban on fans. Then they go to Costa Rica and Panama, both on the red list. The opposite of that, Herc, is the U.S. The U.S. is at El Salvador and Honduras, not on the red list, and they got a home game against Canada. So really, for the U.S., it's almost a massive competitive advantage in that this round, they'll have pretty much all their players, and they won't lose anybody because of this. I mean, perfect start for Greg Berhalter and company in that regard.
I mean, the competitive balance shifts, right, depending on what country you play in or what country you're from. And that's a really unfair way of thinking when you're competing for a World Cup spot, when you're competing to play in the World Cup, the pinnacle, the ultimate goal of any footballer. So when you think about that, some guys are already behind the eight ball. Some teams are already behind the eight ball. It's a tough pill to swallow for some of these guys.
All right, so let's not be pessimists here. Let's come up with a solution. Is there a good solution? Like, what could you do here? I think the first thing that pops to mind to me is either some type of bubble scenario, which probably would be in the United States, right? Something along those lines. You could just recurringly come back to a place like Orlando, or maybe what may end up happening was what used to be done back in the day, a one-off tournament. And that could really be interesting, a real equalizer across the field to see who gets into the World Cup.
I don't know as far as the U.S. government, as far as CONCACAF, what could be done there. We may see a situation where they'll give these teams the choice, like we saw in the Champions League, to play in a neutral site. Like, if it's your choice because in Mexico it's red, or in Jamaica it's red, or whatever you might be, to move the game to a neutral venue and play at full strength, or just decide, you know what, we'll play at home, we're going to miss these players, that's the way it's going to be for us until something happens, so these bans are lifted. Give them that choice. That's one of the few, I guess, solutions, if you can call it that, that I can think of.
So Mexico World Cup qualifiers in a neutral venue in the United States? Is that what you're suggesting?
That's what I'm suggesting. And you know that's what they're thinking as well.
Yep. Yeah, I don't think anybody would be worse off for it. One more, yeah. So let's get to the news then. Thursday morning's big news, which is the U.S. roster drop. We knew it was coming. We knew it was coming right around 11:30 a.m. Eastern time, which was right before our production meeting. So we had a good chance to react to this before we get to what we'll say: snubs, surprises, and Pepe. Let's leave that off for a second. Housekeeping, 26 players, 9 from Major League Soccer, Herc. I don't know if that was a surprising number, either small or big to you. And then I think the other note is Christian Pulisic, who Greg Berhalter told us today was day-to-day. He's still in quarantine, but none of the 3 games are ruled out today from Greg Berhalter. So I think if you're a U.S. fan, you've got a lot of hope that Pulisic may indeed, in some capacity, be available for all 3. Anything else from the roster jump out to you?
Yeah. The youth, how young it is. And what I mean by young isn't so much age, but the inexperience. Only 6 players have World Cup qualifying experience. So that's something to keep an eye on. This is still a very young team. Don't look at Tim Ream. This is still a very, very young team.
Don't look at Tim Ream, he says. Yeah, there's a few players that definitely bring that average up. There you see the 3 goalies, Ethan Horvath, Zach Steffen, and Matt Turner. A competition that I will be very interesting to see how it plays out, Herc, right? Because you've got 3 games. In theory, you could even go as far to, and I'm not just stirring the pot here, give each one a start and say that each start was earned.
You could honestly say that, and it may honestly be a wash. I mean, as if you're thinking about the 3, and their performance, as of late, that we the fans, we the pundits have gotten to see, I think it's an open competition. I think you can make a case that maybe Matt Turner has an edge on a couple of these guys, and it sounds crazy to say that, but I think it's an open competition.
Yeah, if you're going off like hot hand, we've just seen more of Turner of late, and I think there's always going to be the question with Zach Steffen, has he played enough? Whether and how.
Same with Horvath.
Yep. Whether and how Greg Berhalter answers those questions will be the big decision. So let's get to the surprises. For me, there's one very big one. Was there one very big one for you?
Yeah, there's a few. George Bello, because he's so inexperienced, so young, but he had a great, you know, Gold Cup final against Mexico. Tecatito Corona, I mean, I don't think Tecatito's had a player mark him that well in CONCACAF and probably his whole CONCACAF career. If you think about it, he's been taking advantage of people. If not Sergiño Dest in New Jersey, that was not George Bello. George Bello put him in his pocket.
All right, what about Conrad De La Fuente? Because to me, that was the biggest surprise. Not that Conrad De La Fuente is an exciting player, but really, Herc, one cap and like three senior league appearances in his professional career. He's playing well right now for Marseille, no doubt about it, but for me, this is a little bit out of nowhere considering we didn't see him this summer.
Hold up a second. That one cap, he was still with Barcelona. He was training with the first team, trying to get those first team minutes, those first team reps. It didn't happen. He's now at Olympique de Marseille, and by the way, okay, he's still a young kid. He's only 20 years of age. He's the type of guy that 1v1 will skill you. Yes, he's got a long way to go tactically in the setup and the combination play, but this makes sense to me. He's had a great preseason with Olympique. He's been a starter in every single game.
Preseason!
He's been a starter in every single game. This is a guy that can be a great change of pace off the bench. It makes sense to me.
These are World Cup qualifiers, to say it on preseason. It's a really small sample size. He's got no competitive appearances for the U.S. So let's see. Another name for me that was a surprise, maybe in the negative, Matthew Hoppe. I thought Matthew Hoppe had an awesome Gold Cup. I thought he proved that he could absolutely help you, if not through the middle, out wide. Like, every time he touched the ball in the Gold Cup, this guy was dangerous. How is he not in the best 26, Herc?
Okay, so obviously Greg Berhalter does not see him as a nine, sees him as a wide player. Matthew Hoppe's also in this limbo situation with this club, so this doesn't surprise me. You got to let him sort that out, and you can't just sign, go somewhere, and all of a sudden say, hey, by the way, I'm leaving, if you're not an established player. He's also right now in Bundesliga, too. I don't mind this. Look at the players who are in front of him. I mean, who do we have in front of Matthew Hoppe? You're going to have Christian Pulisic, Gio Reyna. You're going to have, who else do you have? Brendan Aaronson, who's been absolutely on fire. Timmy Weah. He had a great Gold Cup. Okay, but versus Gold Cup opponents. Okay, these other players have been doing it at a higher level. So with this club situation, I think it lends himself for maybe it's between him and Conrad. And if Conrad's already established in that club situation, maybe Greg Berhalter had a conversation with him. You know what? Fix your club situation. We'll go from there.
Look, you want to sing George Bello's praises. How does he get the call up?
I told you it was a surprise.
And doesn't he get it on Gold Cup performance?
What? But you asked me if it was a surprise. I said, yeah, that surprised me.
Okay. What about George Bello? Is it a surprise because he's there or because of the position? Because I think what's really interesting is, you know, you basically look at him, Dest, you got two or three outside backs, everybody else that they brought in on defense, and he brought 10 defenders. He's got seven players who are all center backs or potentially center backs in a back three. Does that tell us kind of what formation we think we're going to see from the U.S.?
Of course it tells you what formation he's looking at. He's looking at probably working at a three center back formation and players who could potentially be part of that. I was also surprised that James Sands is on this list. Not that James Sands is a bad player, but I didn't think he had a great Gold Cup. Once the competition got stiffer, I thought he struggled. Even in the All-Star game yesterday, you saw there's still some things in his game sometimes where maybe he's a little overconfident. Maybe he's not as great a defender as you think. He's very good passing out of the back, but maybe sometimes that'll get you in trouble. I was surprised that maybe a Chris Richards, for example, wasn't on this list. Chris Richards, I know it's a club situation, kind of like Hoppe. It's one of those situations. And if that's not the reason, Chris Richards is a very good passing back, physically capable. I mean, he's getting first team reps with Bayern Munich, Hoffenheim last season. This is a kid that you would expect to be there, especially if you can say, hey, I need somebody who can work in a two-man or three-man back line. It just makes sense. I don't know why, if it's not because he's allowing him to fix his club situation, he's not on this list.
Yeah, especially when you think about the amount of center backs that they took, right? Like, that means he's not in your, what, 6-7 depth chart? That is pretty surprising for a player at the level that he is.
Yeah, I mean,
real quick, Kirk, go.
Sands is there. Tim Reams is like, what, 38, 39, 40? No, he's about 33 years old.
Ages.
I just don't understand why it can't be a Chris Richards. I understand you want a little maturity there, but it just makes sense to me.
Okay, speaking of young players, 18-year-old Ricardo Pepi. Let's get to it, Herc. This story that was exploding during the MLS All-Star Game, which you were covering, we had conflicting reports. First out of Mexico that he had chosen Mexico, then out of the United States, specifically from Stu Holden. You heard him at halftime on the English language broadcast, saying that Pepi was indeed going to be on the U.S. roster. Really a remarkable night and like a remarkable rise for this kid to prominence.
You think? He's 18 years old, man. He's got 9 goals in Major League Soccer. We're talking about Bologna Serie A. We're talking about USA Mexico.
Here's a look at what he posted on social media. I think it was a really long post, and I think it's definitely worth a read. What stood out to me, Herc, he talks about living on both sides of the border, which for him, you know, quite literally was true. El Paso, Ciudad Juarez, he seems to have lived a life early on where he was truly on both sides of the border a lot as a kid. I can only imagine that. And he also said he's very proud to represent the U.S. So we see kind of both sides of that. I think the bigger question is Sporting, right? And is this a call-up that you think is more based on the U.S. desire to lock him up for the future? Or is he actually now not, like a top 5 forward in this U.S. pool?
A little of both.
Because I haven't seen him in any of your top 5s yet.
A little of both. It can be a little of both, Seb. I mean, let's be honest. I think Greg Berhalter, let's give Greg a lot of credit here, okay? Because we love to, you know, point him out when they're not doing things well. Let's also call him out when they're doing things well. Greg Berhalter has gone about it the right way when it's come to these players, these dual nationals. He's let them be. He's nurtured that relationship. He's tried to get the perspective. He's been very, very transparent. Here it is. This is what it is. If you want to be part, we'd love to have you. But at some point, you also have to show not just the player, but the public, the fans, the pundits, like, hey, we're actively going for these players. We want them to know they are valued. And in some ways, this is a reward. And this is when you play well, you get rewarded with call-ups. You get rewarded with the fame. You get rewarded with all these things, right? Well, this is one of them. If you're asking me, he's in the top 5 right now. I mean, he's 18 years old. He's got 9 goals in Major League Soccer. He's putting the ball in the back of the net regularly. Daryl Dike right now is a guy who's, you can say whatever you want about him being in the top 5, not necessarily doing that. Jossie Sardes is out in the mend. Jozy Altidore is nowhere near in the picture. This is a logical choice.
It's not unprecedented for a guy to get hot and all of a sudden find himself on like a World Cup squad. I know a guy or two like that. No, it's true. The U.S. pool is not deep enough that you're going to ignore anybody who's scoring goals anywhere at the forward position. Certainly not with how much we've talked about the desperate need for number 9. Greg Berhalter had what I thought, Herc, was a very baller quote.
Oh, yeah?
On this. Yeah, it just seems like I can see the meme already. The sunglasses come down over Berhalter's eyes as you read this quote. We've been talking to Ricardo for much longer than Mexico had been involved. For us, it's not about what Mexico is doing, it's about what we're doing.
It is baller. It is baller. You know why it's baller? Don't worry about us. We're doing us. You do you. That's what it is. And great, because oftentimes the perception has been that Mexico is quick to cap these kids just to have them, right? Maybe not nurturing them the right way, maybe not letting them grow, maybe not letting them earn it.
Jonathan Gonzalez,
you can make a lot case for a lot of different players. Efraín Álvarez is a fantastic talent, but not really a starter with the LA Galaxy. So, you know, you can go there as well. David Ochoa recently was in the, you know, CONCACAF Nations League final with the U.S. So it goes both ways. But this is Greg Berhalter saying, we are paying attention to these players. We value these players. We're not worried about Mexico. They're doing you. That is great. I love seeing this. I love that. Because you're going to win some, you're going to lose some.
Yeah.
But you have to try for all.
Yeah, but this is a huge win, and it goes very much against the grain, the recent grain of these decisions, right? We had David Ochoa.
Yeah.
We had Efraín Álvarez. The reports, if you're going to believe them, are that Julian Araujo is going to join that list soon as well. So this very much goes against the grain. And I got to be honest, of those names that I just mentioned, this feels like potentially the biggest of the lot. Let's talk about it from a Mexican national team perspective, though. Because to me, this seems like when we talk about all of the nines and all of the issues that Mexico has at that position, this was a kid they almost had to have.
I don't know about that, Seb. Maybe in the immediate future, if he's tearing it up in Europe, you could say, hey, they should have had him. But right now, you can make a case. And let me just Funes Mori, okay, mm-hmm. Raul Jimenez, JJ Macias at Getafe, Alexis Vega, who's going to be European bound right now, Santi Munoz, who's expected to be at Newcastle. That's the heavy rumor from a lot of reporters in Mexico. Mm-hmm. Ricardo Pepi probably isn't in anybody's orbit right now if you're looking at the other side. Not thought that would be specific, but all the other people, all the other press fans, they have no idea who Ricardo Pepi is.
So you're saying there's 10, 12, there's 15 Ricardo Pepis in Mexico, just ready
to go. That's exactly what I said, yes.
Yeah?
That's what you got.
Yeah, there's
just
much talent there.
That's exactly what I said.
What about this? Direct comparison. Santiago Jimenez, who we saw in the All-Star game last night, or Ricardo Pepi, who are you taking?
Right now, who am I taking? Santi Jimenez.
Really?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. He's got 2 years on him, too.
Who are you taking?
No, I'm taking Jimenez for sure.
Okay.
For sure. Just based on length of sample size
alone.
What
I love about Ricardo Pepi is his swagger, his confidence, along with that goal-scoring ability. He will grow into that large frame, by the way.
And worth noting, at his age with the new FIFA rules, the door is not entirely closed for a player like Ricardo Pepi. He can still be called up in this cycle and end up playing for Mexico one day. Who knows? I think we're going to have a lot of cases like that as this rivalry continues to evolve. Let's get to some more news out of Europe. Brendan Aaronson. I'll finish this sentence, Herc. Brendan Aaronson scores! Yep. Again, Brendan Aaronson scored in Champions League qualifying, no less, as Salzburg advances past Brøndby. They are in the group phase, so good competition coming up for him.
This is the most productive player the U.S. pool has. The U.S. pool, the most productive player. Out of everybody, he's the most productive. And he happens to be only 20 years of age, and he happens to get better every time we see him.
And of course, the big, big payoff again is the ability to play in the Champions League at the highest level. Yet another of a dozen Americans playing in the Champions League this season.
I mean, just overjoyment, super happy. I mean, I'm so proud of this team. This is the least we deserve, the way we played, and yeah, I couldn't be any happier. So happy just to help the team. Like, the first leg, I'm lost for words because it's Champions League. It's a boyhood dream, and yeah, I'm so happy.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
All right, let's get to it. Last night's action, Major League Soccer, Liga MX. Sirk, you were at the game, so help me help walk me through the highlight here. We're in the 20th minute. Oh. Cabecita!
You don't want to leave Jonathan Rodriguez open like that. Alex Roldan, he's going to want that one back. Got caught in no man's land. Rodriguez, who was by far one of the best players on the field, takes advantage.
So Liga Mekis goes up 1-0 pretty quickly. LAFC connection, Atuesta to Murillo to make it 1-1.
Venga.
We go to penalties. It had to be penalties, didn't it, Herc?
Oh.
It just had to be penalties between these two. And it had to be that guy again.
I know. If somebody did not need to miss, it was Rogelio Funes Mori. And Anani, put in the upper V.
Yeah, here is another moment. Oh. Luis Romo, cool as you like.
Look how calm
Matt Turner,
he is.
Rarely beaten, but certainly there. It all set up. I mean, if you wrote the script, they wouldn't believe you. Pepi for the winner.
Bang it.
Herc, post game with the MVP.
What a summer for you, huh?
Yeah, it's been a good summer.
You think?
Yeah.
You're undefeated this summer, and it just so happens versus Mexican teams.
Yeah, we'll take that. As an American soccer player, you'll take that any day of the week. But I think all of us know that the real test is coming up in World Cup qualifying.
Before we get to the World Cup qualifying, let's stay here. Let's stay in Major League Soccer. Things got kind of testy. There were actually some kicks being thrown, a few elbows. What was going on out there?
I think you saw a game where people really wanted to win. A lot of bragging rights on the line, obviously. And, you know, as soon as that first tackle went, you knew it was going to be a game. You know, I think the first 10 minutes were a little touchy-feely. People were sort of feeling out the vibe. But as soon as the crowd got into the game, as soon as those tackles started flying, the intensity picked up, and it was just a lot of fun to be a part of.
All right, Herc, let's do a All-Star Edition, good, bad, and ugly. You were at the game, but I think it definitely came across on television. Both teams took this very, very seriously. What was it like there on the field?
Too serious. It was insane. I spoke to Liga MX players that I know. They were telling me they were watching video of the MLS team, of the players. They had video analysis for an All-Star game. Also, I heard from multiple MLS All-Stars that our boy Rodolfo Pizarro was getting abused in the tunnel. A little context, he said that MLS was going to win 4-2. Liga MX players, they didn't like that. They came up to him in the tunnel like, hey, I thought you guys were gonna score 4 on us. And when he went on the field, a lot of kicks, a lot of elbows. You see Luis Romo, Sebastian Legette, a little US versus L3 action going on right there. They did not like each other. A lot of pride being played in this game.
So some ugly stuff then ends up in the good. Let me ask you another thing. Anytime that you're at an All-Star game, there's always, like any big game, MLS Cup, kind of a rumor mill under everything.
Always.
And I wonder what you heard out there. You're very plugged in with your ear to the streets. What did you come up with?
Take this with a grain of salt, okay? Because pundits, owners, players, everybody talks. I heard everything from Memo Ochoa is going to LAFC. I heard everything from Carlos Vela may not play again this year. I heard Orbelin Pineda to the Chicago Fire for $13 million. I had Mexican players on the Liga MX All-Star team telling me they had heard that Ricardo Pepi was going to play with the Mexican national team. So take all this with a grain of salt, but it's crazy what you will hear at MLS All-Star. It's an event. It's a party. People talk. Some of this may have no basis, no foundation, but crazy things being said at these things.
Hercules Scoop Gomez. There you are. You heard it here.
Say what
first
you want to say. Football
Americas. Everybody put all of that stuff out on Twitter and at Herc. I'm sure he'll love to discuss it. Let's get to the bad. The bad Herc of this game. Where were the stars? It's an All-Star game. Where were they? Novela. No Chicharito.
Nice
no,
shirt.
He was there. We shouldn't say no. They didn't play. No Gignac.
You're not happy with this. You're not happy.
No, I'm disappointed. I mean, I don't know how you can have this kind of game with no Chicharito, with no Vela, with no Gignac, especially, Herc, just in light of how few stars the league has.
Yeah.
If you had a Zlatan, if you had a Rooney, if you had Pirlo, if you had Drogba, if you had some of those names still around, which MLS doesn't have anymore, for better or worse, you could still sell this game outside of a very small niche of a very small niche. But I think without Chicharito, Vela, and Gignac, you really miss what this whole game was supposed to be about, if we're being honest.
Wow. If you want to say a celebration of both leagues' figures or stars is a is a miss because there's no Zlatan, no Rooney, no Vela, or I'm sorry, Vela, Chicharito, or Pirlo, Drogba, whatever you want. What's the other side of that coin? Why aren't there these players anymore? Because Major League Soccer, in general, is focusing on younger signings. It's focusing on the Miguel Almiron so they can sell them, the Joseph Martinez, the Diego Rossis, being the stars of this league. That's the other
this
side of that
coin.
This isn't
the transfer game. This is the All-Star game.
I did a three hour show, SportsCenter Picante, pre and post yesterday. Just because it wasn't in English doesn't mean there's no attention on this game. There was a pretty full, I would say, full crowd in LA midweek for an exhibition game. I mean, it's crazy to me how much, and the star power is different because Liga MX is king in the United States. The most viewed league here isn't the Premier League, isn't the Champions League, it's Liga MX. And every day you see more players that used to play in Liga MX, now in Major League Soccer. Those stars, that star power coming over here. So the star power is different. I know what you mean. The global star. Where is that Zlatan? Where is that Wayne Rooney?
The guy who cuts through the noise. The guy that gets you on SportsCenter
so
in English.
It just so happens that they're
the guy
Mexican
that gets you
today.
On Jimmy Kimmel. All of that stuff.
I saw Chicharito on Jimmy Kimmel.
Okay. All right. That's one. And did he play?
Well, what do you want him to do? No. He's injured. That's okay. Another thing. I mean, got to stay healthy.
Let's get to the ugly. The ugly was that in Los Angeles, we once again heard the homophobic chant directed at goalies. I'm supposed to ask you if you're surprised, Turk, but I can't imagine that you would be.
I'm a little surprised. This is a midweek exhibition all-star game. Like, really, it's just so embarrassing. It really is embarrassing because I'm getting this crazy divide of people. You know, my timeline with people in Latin America, in Mexico, saying, well, that's just the Mexicans in the United States. This only happens in the States. No, this started out in a U-23 Olympic qualification in Guadalajara. And then we heard it, week one of the Mexican League. And pretty soon, and I'm already starting to see it online, it's the Mexico fans. It's the Mexicans. This is embarrassing because they're going to paint us all on the same brush. And as a Mexican-American, this really hurts. It's embarrassing. It's infuriating. Pena ajena is the word in Spanish. My producer and I sat next to each other, and we looked at each other like, this is just, qué pena ajena, like, qué pena. How embarrassing is this?
You saw there the stoppage, like, right around the 11th, 12th minute. Did you hear it again after that? You were in the stadium.
I heard it again loud and clear. Must have been minute 87. What was done? Nothing. Let's go. Let's just get this over with. Let's go. That's what the mindset was.
Disappointing on a lot of perspectives. A disappointing summer, really, from the perspective of Mexican football, right? You have the Gold Cup, you have the Nations League, you have now this defeat in the MLS All-Star Game. I guess how disappointing, really, you have to measure by what the reaction is south. And I know that you know this well because you're on ESPN Deportes like literally all day. So are they connecting the dots from like this defeat to Nations League to Gold Cup and drawing it all together?
Da-na-na, da-na-na. We're dissecting the why, the how it happened. How do we get here? Where can we go from here? Why are we 0-3? There are many people that's going to say, it's just an exhibition game. Trust me, this was crazy. The pundits, they're not taking this well. The fans aren't taking this well. There are a lot of people who say, you know what, it doesn't matter. And they're right. A lot of this won't matter. But this is something, Seb. That's three competitions. That's a CONCACAF Nations League final. That's a Gold Cup final. And now you could say the two leagues, because Mexican pundits, Mexican fans, everybody south of the border, when they think of Major League Soccer, they equate it to the U.S. men's national team. So this, to them, is another loss. 0-3 is what they're saying. June, July, and August swept is what they're saying.
If we're counting all of this as USA versus Mexico, will we also count like Champions League? Will we also CONCACAF Champions League?
Will we
also count Leagues Cup?
Of course.
Okay, so
but that's
very
why
quickly,
that's
then,
why the people that's
a,
why the people on
three.
This side aren't saying like, hey, we own you. Look how dominant we are, because they know. But when a league, when a region is so dominant and slowly starts losing that grip they had, it gets a little insecure, and you're starting to see the comments come out.
And it's funny how all of these have a common thread, and that is a common thread that is a boogeyman, a ghost in Mexican soccer, the penalty kick. The penalty kick
the set
always...
piece, right?
No, just the penalties. Just the act that is penalties kind of combines everything. One more bit of news, because you were scoop earlier. One thing that you didn't mention out of the All-Star game was a bit of transfer news. It is still what? A week left in the transfer window before players could stop moving to Europe. I think September 1st pretty much closes all the windows. Tejan Buchanan of the New England Revolution for $7 million. Herc, big move there for one of the star young players of MLS.
Massive move. Bruce Arena with another player, young player. This Bruce Arena is one of the guys that gave Clint Dempsey a shot. He sees something in players and he lets them be. Just like Clint Dempsey used to. Well, I'll let you finish that. Brown emoji is what Bruce Arena would say that Clint Dempsey does. Tejan is the same way.
He tries it.
Let him be. He lets him be. He lets him be creative. And this is a very exciting player. Canada's got a good one.
Be playing in the Belgian League with Club Brugge. So a big move there. And good for the Revs. Not a team maybe known for exporting talent, but certainly they get a big name out here. And they get to keep some of his future sell-on. Should he be sold to a bigger club? All right, more MLS. We got, what, a Friday doubleheader? It is still rivalry week. Say that three times fast. You got the Hell is Real Derby, Columbus Crew and FC Cincinnati. And then we got Orlando City and Inter Miami, an all-Florida affair there in the Sunshine State.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
The big story here, Diego Lainez is back with Real Betis. Of course, back after a long, long summer. Not just Gold Cup, but Olympics as well. He won't be available this weekend. Kind of a bummer for a big game against Real Madrid. Nevertheless, coming off the bronze medal, he should have plenty of momentum heading into the season. Here he is with a sit down on his summer and his upcoming campaign.
Sí, fue un verano muy bonito porque acabamos bien con el equipo. Lo que queríamos, el objetivo que planteamos desde el principio, lo conseguimos y sirvió también para ir feliz y motivado a la selección, hacer las cosas bien en dos torneos distintos y en amistosos. Y la verdad que fue un verano lleno de cosas importantes, de logros muy bonitos y que me motivan a seguir dando más esta temporada.
¿Te das cuenta del crecimiento de Diego Lainez? Llegaste aquí hace ya algunos años, chaval, eres joven todavía, pero ¿cómo vas creciendo? ¿Cómo vas ganando en todo?
Sí, claro, desde un poco del papel en el equipo que cada vez va creciendo más. El año pasado fue muy bueno y me tocó participar mucho y ser parte importante del logro que conseguimos también. Y bueno, eso se refleja también en la selección y en todos los demás torneos, que es algo muy importante para mí.
Vaya responsabilidad, ¿no, Diego? El hecho de que el seleccionador de la absoluta, el Tata Martino, diga que bueno, que pese a tus 21 años, que no eres un jugador de futuro, que eres un jugador de presente.
Sí, bueno, la verdad que es un orgullo que el Tata se exprese de esa manera de mí. Yo estoy muy agradecido con él. La confianza que me ha dado en estos, las últimas concentraciones, hemos estado más cercanos, he recibido consejos de él que me han ayudado mucho. No solo en el aspecto con la selección, sino también que me han ayudado aquí en el Betis. Y bueno, estoy feliz por ese lado y a seguir tratando de dar lo mejor de mí para que sigan viniendo estas cosas.
El personal espera mucho de ti también, tú lo sabes. Ya no eres un niño, es decir, vienes a ganar una medalla. El seleccionador de México habla de que eres ya no un proyecto, sino un jugador hecho y derecho. Y el bético también espera que sea el año definitivo de Lainez. Ya has demostrado que tienes calidad de sobra.
Sí, claro. Yo voy a seguir demostrando, haciendo las cosas bien como le hice el torneo pasado. Y sin duda alguna que tiene que ser un año muy importante para mí también.
¿Y del tobillo cómo andamos? ¿Cómo está la cosa?
Del tobillo bien, todavía me queda, no sé, una semana, un poquito más de recuperación para ver si ya puedo estar listo y una vez que se dé el alta, pues a darle y a estar metido 100% con el equipo.
¿Te llegaste a preocupar cuando caes lesionado? ¿Vimos imágenes?
Sí, la verdad que sí, más si ves el tobillo izquierdo, ahí se ve una bola. Nunca se me había puesto así tan hinchado el tobillo, la verdad, lo primero que pensé, dije, era el último partido, tenía ya en nada que estar con el equipo para iniciar una temporada nueva llegando lo mejor, pero bueno, son cosas que pasan en el fútbol, toca recuperar, estar de la mejor manera, trabajando fuerte para regresar y estar al 100% dando lo mejor de mí.
Llevamos dos partidos de liga, Diego, dos empates, Mallorca y Cádiz, ahora llega el Madrid.
Sí, ahora llega Madrid, un rival muy fuerte, pero que hemos demostrado también en los últimos años que es un rival al que le competimos muy bien, porque este equipo cada vez tiene más calidad y siempre lo ha demostrado, tanto por nombres, tanto como equipo, como hemos jugado toda la temporada pasada. Y bueno, yo creo que puede ser un resultado positivo para nosotros este fin de semana, también respetando lo que es el Madrid, pero nosotros somos un buen equipo también.
So there it is, Betis Real Madrid on ESPN Plus, Saturday, 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 12:30 p.m. Pacific. No Diego Lainez, but a chance to see his Betis team in action. What a couple days of soccer in Los Angeles, huh? We got the Galaxy and LAFC, another version of El Tráfico coming this Saturday. Of course, no Chicharito, no Vela in this for either of the teams. The two big stars are out. And Herc talked to guys from both sides of the rivalry at the All-Star game.
Huge game, but both teams are kind of in a slump. They kind of need a pick-me-up. What can this game do to the team that wins?
I think this is all about a shift in momentum, you know, for both teams. You know, it can really push us to where we want to be as far as up in that table, keep pushing for the number one spot, and for them, just give them a huge boost. You know, it's the same, but maybe we're at a different places. But I think overall, it's always a great game, always a skillful game. There's a lot, you know, both sides have great players, and of course, it's for the fans. It's an amazing for the city.
It's a city of stars, and it's a game that's always full of stars, but two stars, probably the biggest stars in Major League Soccer, won't be available. Carlos Vela, Javier Hernandez. Now, Javier is in a race against time to actually get back and get fit. Due to this rule that you can't play in the MLS All-Star game, you don't play in the next game, he won't be available. Can you share your thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's obviously unfortunate that, you know, he picked up an injury early on about a month ago, and he just can't get there yet. And if he's not ready, he's not ready, and we have to support him in that. But obviously, we know his qualities, and once he's back in, we know he's gonna give us that extra boost that we need, but hopefully we can do it without him on Saturday.
Both teams have been struggling. Talk to me about the mindset heading into a big match like this.
Yeah, so, you know, we came off a loss, and we lost against San Jose. But, you know, we have our mindset switched around to El Tráfico. We know what this game is. We know what it means. And, you know, it's a game for the city, and we know we want to win it. We know what we have to do, and we've started training. And, you know, I'm going to focus on the game tomorrow with the All-Star team, and then after that, it's back to the Galaxy and focusing on against LAFC.
¿Qué hace tan especial este partido?
Yo pienso que la tradición futbolera de Los Ángeles, pienso que la rivalidad que se ha dado estos últimos años, el buen fútbol que hemos mostrado nosotros desde que empezamos hace nuestra corta historia, y esos grandes partidos que hemos tenido entre nosotros, pienso que eso al fan lo cautivó, lo atrae mucho hacia este partido, y siempre es cuota de buen fútbol, siempre es cuota de muchos goles, y espero que vuelva a ser así.
So Hurt Galaxy in fourth heading into this game, LAFC in ninth below the playoff line out in the Western Conference. Who do you think needs it more?
Without a doubt, LAFC. I mean, Galaxy, they've got a lot of good built equity. Greg Vanning, what he's been able to do with that team, the turnaround with Chicharito Hernandez. You look at the other side, I mean, LAFC is winless in the last seven. They dropped points in eight of the home games this season. This is a team right now that doesn't look too confident. Maybe they've been playing well, not getting games, not getting results, but needless to say, you're not getting results, and you're in LAFC where it used to be a home fortress.
Is Bob Bradley under any real pressure here, Herc? Because we saw the reporting in The Athletic that he is in the last year of his contract at LAFC. Things are going south in a hurry. Is there real pressure?
No, I don't think there's real pressure on him. I don't think John Thornton's going to put that type of pressure on him. And quite frankly, if you look at what LAFC has done and how Bob Bradley has the success he's had in Major League Soccer, he's one of the winningest coaches in Major League Soccer. I think it'll take a lot for something to happen with Bob Bradley.
You know who else is in a contract year? We found out more of the news that was falling out from the All-Star game. Carlos Vela. Some interesting comments in a sit-down interview with TUDN right there at Bank of California Stadium, saying he could see potentially a return to Europe. What do you think? Is this the beginning of the end of Carlos Vela at LAFC?
I don't think Carlos Vela's in an LAFC jersey next season. He's 32 years old. In the last year and a half since last season, he's played, he started 22 games. 9 goals, 5 assists. For a guy who's making $6.3 million, I mean, he hasn't been healthy enough to stay on the field. He didn't play in MLS's back. It's already two injuries last season, 2 injuries this season. We don't know when he will come back this season. I just don't see Carlos Vela accepting less money, accepting half that if he can go elsewhere. And I don't see LAFC right now thinking he's going to be worth it if it's going to be another $6 million or $4 million or even $3 million.
He mentioned Europe. I would think a return to Mexico would be far more likely. I don't see a return to Europe at this age. Would you see that?
Depends on the level. I could see a return to Europe depending on the level.
But would he want to go to a level and take a salary that wasn't what he's getting or anywhere near it at LAFC?
You have to remember,
that's the reality.
His wife is a Spanish national. He doesn't strike me as a type who would want to deal with the Mexican media, would want to deal with the scrutiny, would want to deal with the paparazzi-like lifestyle. He could probably be happy playing at a decent level and be back home with his wife, a place that he considers home, or who knows, somewhere in Spain. Honestly, I could see this happening, but I can't see another $6 million a year. I really don't see him in Mexican soccer. I don't think he's about that right now. I really don't see him in an LAFC uniform next season.
The Champions League draw is out. So headlines right there. Group A, Manchester City, PSG. Of course, the asterisk there that Ronaldo to Man City looks like it could happen. Jesse Marsh's Leipzig in that group. Group B, I don't know, do we call it the group of death or the toughest group? Atletico Madrid, Liverpool, Porto, and AC Milan. Porto and AC Milan, two teams that could be tied via Tecatito, depending on what happens in the coming days. Maybe most pertinent to a U.S. fan standpoint is Chelsea and Juventus in the same group, Herc. So we're going to get a Weston McKennie, Christian Pulisic showdown, maybe, depending on what happens again in the last week of the transfer window.
Yeah, Weston McKennie, heavily rumored. A lot of teams are interested. They're saying that Juve will only loan him out. We'll see what happens there. But how can you not say that Group A is a group of death? If you're in a group with City and PSG, you're dead.
Yeah. Yep. Even for semifinalists like Leipzig, even with an American manager like Jesse Marsh.
Tyler
Adams,
Tejan Buchanan, and Keylor Navas. What do they all have in common? Group A! That's what they have in common. Wow, this is insane.
You mentioned McKennie. The first link was to Premier League with Everton. Latest, it's been to Spurs, which makes sense because Paratici was the sporting director at Juve before he came to Tottenham, so should know him. Let's throw some more kindling on that fire.
Hopefully he doesn't go to Spurs. I'd like them to win something this season.
Okay. Jesse Marsh. In that group with PSG and Manchester City. Bad news because the odds will be stacked against him, but from another perspective, great opportunity to showcase his talent.
Both of them. Tyler Adams, Jesse Marsh. I mean, think about where Jesse Marsh kind of exploded onto the scene in Europe. It was Salzburg versus Liverpool. And you brought it up in the rundown meeting when I said that great video, like the halftime or the pregame video of him talking, hyping up his team, it made waves around the English-speaking world. People were talking about Jesse Marsh as a coach. And then he does well in Austria. Now he's on the map. Another thing, if you can get results against PSG with the potential Cristiano Ronaldo and Messi, get results versus the likes of a Man City. It's going to be great for Jesse Marsh and the flag that he's waving.
Yeah. I'm more interested in the coaching matchups, right? Because if he gets a result, then it's easily that you know the headline the next day, right? Jesse Marsh outclasses Pep. And then boom, there you've got it. Now he's a hot coaching candidate, hotter than he is. Already, you'd say at RB Leipzig. All right, what else we got? Oh, we got the reaction because you know you want to be in the group with the. We don't have the reaction. All right, there was some great reaction from Tyler Adams. Okay.
You better have the reaction, Shabby. If you don't have the reaction, I'm gonna be upset because the reaction is gold.
No, because so the reaction is from Tyler Adams, right? Because you're looking and everybody's looking to see as their team's group draw comes out. Do we, you know, have a chance? Here it is.
Oh no.
I wonder which was that one PSG? Was that after PSG? Was that after City? The face says it all, right? The face says it all.
My man's.
Is he not really though? Like obviously he's excited too, right? I don't think this is dire,
like, oh negative, no, look right. at us, look poor us. I think this is I get the ball against Messi, yes. I get the ball against Cristiano.
Especially with Tyler Adams, right? Especially
absolutely. With a kid like this kid's always up for the challenge. Captain, oh my captain.
Yep. Should be some good matchups there. We know Jesse Marsh. He likes to play good soccer. So expect to see it there in the Champions League. All right, that does it for this edition of Football Americas. We should note we had a great interview with Julian Green. It was like 20 minutes long. So we're going to start doing this on the podcast, exclusive content on the pod. So you'll get the full Julian Green interview on the podcast, which again, you can find in the ESPN FC feed. And you'll get like a 6-7 minute version of the Julian Green interview here on the show on Monday as we recap all things Bundesliga and USMNT with him. Herc, what you got there? Who are you wearing?
You know who this is? Il Divino Codino. Come on. Codino.
Baggio.
Old colleagues.